Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen, producer James Platy. It is Thursday evening, and it is a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect right now in Ingham, Ionia, Jackson, Eaton County, so something to be aware of. But let's get into the program tonight. The legislative year is in full swing at the Capitol, so is there a new spirit between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to the actual legislation being passed, or do members of the two parties remain as divided as last year? To find out, I'm joined by Democratic State Senator Coleman Young of Detroit. Senator Young, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. I'm in the big time now.
Indeed you are, and I think I am also. Now, before we get to what's happening at the Capitol, I do want to first get your reaction to the Board of Canvassers blocking the proposal to eliminate Public Act 4, otherwise known as the new EFM law. This after the hope was to have it on the November ballot. As you know, the application was rejected on a technicality. Isn't this something that you think the backers should have been more careful about?
Well, first of all, I think that whole decision was a disgrace. I think the fact that the man who was able to vote against putting the Public Act 4 initiative on the ballot was supporting the people who were against putting, or who was a part of the organization that was against exercising democracy and putting the Public Act 4 issue on the ballot. So I thought his vote should have been vacated. I don't think he counted. I thought it was a clear violation of the conflict of interest, one. I think, secondly, from what I heard when they actually had the issue of the font size, that they received, the people who actually were part of the initiative, they got an affidavit from the printer saying that was the right font size. And thirdly, I also think that what is the font size of the Constitution? Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says that government cannot impair the obligations of contract.
Yeah, but we've had
we have seen
other ballot proposals rejected on the same grounds before. I mean, this certainly was predictable, was it not?
Well, I don't necessarily think it was predictable. I mean, again, I'll go back to the original point of the fact of the matter was that the person who was taking the vote had a conflict of interest. He shouldn't have been on there voting in the first place. I thought that was illegal to begin with. I think that vote should be vacated, quite frankly. But secondly, I mean, if you got an affidavit for the player saying, a sworn statement, saying that it's the right print size, I would assume that it would be the right print size. There have been other court cases that have shown that if you just had a reasonable standard in terms of what the font size is, that that should be allowed to be on the ballot. I think it was a court case by Judge Bill Schutte.
I want to ask you about what we're seeing next here, because, you know, last time you were on the program, you told me that you think that at the end, Detroit will be assigned an EFM. Are you surprised that a consent agreement was reached? Are you hopeful that it will be a productive process?
Well, you know, let's handle it to you like this. I think it's unfortunate that we have a consent agreement in there. I was opposed to it. I'm not necessarily surprised, but it is what it is. You know, you never want to root for your city's economic failure. You know, you never want to root for that. You know, hopefully, you know, I don't think it's going to be successful, but hopefully the city will survive. Hopefully the people will thrive, and hopefully this will be something where we'll have economic prosperity. I think the issue, the key here, is whether or not you're going to have economic prosperity at the elevation or at the expense of the citizens of Detroit.
Well, I mean, part of the issue with elevating, I'm guessing, is it involves putting more money into Detroit, but the problem is...
I mean,
the problem is anytime you do anything like that and you already have a system that doesn't work, opponents will say, look, you're dealing with elected officials in Detroit that have shown that they're not able to address their city's financial problems. Why in the world would we put more money and let the same people who have not been able to take care of the problem continue to do what they're doing?
Well, you don't have to do either or. You know, you could do both. you know, you don't have to cut off your right arm to save your left leg. You know what I mean? You can do both. There are reforms that can take place. You can look at employee misclassification. You can look at VEBAs for the healthcare piece. You can look at 401k or pension reform for pensions. There are other types of reforms that you can put in place to make sure, or revenue capacity reforms, if you will, to make sure that we can have more revenue to function and operate temporarily, and then talk about long-term goals. But you're going to have to do something with economics. You're going to have to put the citizens of Detroit to work. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many budget austerity measures you take. You're going to have to do something about the able-bodied men and women who are standing in front of NSO, who are standing in front of Salvation Army, who are on their 900th job application and have been turned down, who are squatting in an abandoned house that is foreclosed on, or living in their car, and the repo man is knocking on the window to take that with their two children in the back. You got to do something to provide.
Well, yeah, but some would say city officials should have been addressing these issues long ago. Do you think the consent agreement then will ultimately fall apart at some point?
I think that if they don't do something about the jobs aspect, it's not going to make a difference. I think it absolutely will fall apart, you know, at some point in time. You got to put people to work, man.
Well, that's true.
This is... doing it difficult, but what needs to be done is not that, it's not that hard, man. This is about jobs right now, because you can't lock everybody up. You got to put people, you can't have a police state, and you can't just cut your way out of this. You got to have jobs if you want to share prosperity.
Well, that's true. In fact, later in the show, we're going to talk about the fact that there are more jobs now, but we don't have qualified candidates, unfortunately. But I do want to shift the topic. I'm talking to Democratic State Senator Coleman Young, the 2nd of Detroit. Now, state lawmakers, as you know, are considering this bill to ban cell phone use by teen drivers. It's going to be known as Kelsey's Law. You were very much behind this law. It started as a secondary offense. The Senate changed it into a primary offense, which made you immediately withdraw your support. Why was that?
I thought just profiling other people in general. And so I thought that, unfortunately, I mean, I wanted to support it. It was something I wanted. I really did. But I just long term that too much for me to withdraw my support from it.
I see. Now, the concern you're saying is what? That if it's a primary offense, it's going
to... Yeah. But my primary concern was that it was a primary offense and that, you know, people could be profiled for all different kinds of reasons. And I didn't want to add another... somebody be pulled over and somebody be profiled by the police department. I just thought it was just a little bit too much invasive. It was another reason for people to have their privacy invaded. And so I thought, you know, and not necessarily because they're on the cell phone, but because they might be perceived that they're on the cell phone. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, you know, because you can't, I'll give you an example. You know, if I'm driving past you, you know, you're only going to see me for so long. And if it looks like I'm looking down and you can't see the phone, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I mean, you can make some different.
It's so unfortunate you're breaking up a little bit. We'll try just a little longer. Let me try one more stab at this, because ultimately when you pass a law like this, I mean, officers are not going to know if the driver's a teen, right? I mean, they're going to see somebody on their phone and they're going to have to pull them over before they're even confirming that is a teenager, right?
I just had a major concern with just the profiling aspect of it. I mean, that was just my primary concern.
Okay.
With it, and that's why I had to support it.
Understood. Just a couple minutes left here, but I do want to get to my initial question, which was, how are things at the Capitol? You've had a little more time now this year, this legislative year, to work with the Republicans. Is the tone any different than it was last year at this time?
I mean, you know, I don't want to count my eggs before they're hatched. But what I will say right now is that there's always a spirit of opportunity, always a spirit of cooperation and bipartisanship. Now there's some things that they're doing right now that I'm absolutely opposed to, whether it be with voting rights, you know, or suppressing voting rights, mm-hmm. and other such issues that they're dealing with right now. But there's always an opportunity for us to come together, and I think that you have to, that for me to go out there and just fundamentally say right now at this point that we're just so divided, we're so partisan, kind of poisons the atmosphere and kind of burns the bridge that we can walk together towards, you know, common interests.
Well, tell me this.
Prosperity of the state of Michigan.
Give me one example of a major piece of legislation so far this year that there is some real bipartisanship on.
I would say that one of the major pieces of legislation that passed that was bipartisanship on was, I think, autism. I think the autism legislation that passed was something that was done by both chambers, you know, bipartisanly, and was done, and it was quite funny, done in a very open and transparent fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's an issue that, you know, we have really been, you know, that I have seen, we've been struggling with for a very long time. To get across, I mean, I've seen, you know, in a couple, because I've been here for a little bit.
Well,
so, you know, I've seen a couple of legislators, you know, not be able to get that through. And so for us to come together and get that done for autistic children, I think that's a good thing.
One last thing, about 30 seconds left, but I know you're very frank with your comments, so I'd like you to tell me realistically here. The Senate Finance Committee is having hearings on the 2020 plan. Is it fair to say that that is really going to go nowhere?
I don't think so. I mean, I wanted to go. You know, I'm always a hopeless optimistic. You know what I mean? I wanted to pass. I think it's great for the state of Michigan, but, you know, Senator Brandon Byrne says it's not going to happen. And quite frankly, right now, I just don't think investing in children and making sure that every child has an opportunity to go to college is, you know, a priority for the Republicans. I think they're more about, you know, big bank takes little bank, and let's make millionaires, billionaires, you know, let's give tax cuts, you know, at the expense of grandma and everybody else. I mean, I think that's just really what it's about right now, you know. Let's crush working people so we can make fat cats better. That's just what it is.
Democratic State Senator Coleman Young II of Detroit. Senator Young, thank you so much for coming on the program this evening.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Always learning something from you, my man. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a Republican senator, and this time we're going to talk about a piece of legislation that was signed into law this week by the governor, which is going to mean that some Michiganians may very well be losing their paternal rights soon. You'll find out exactly what that's about next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.